Everybody say faith works by love. Now, we receive everything by faith. We resist the enemy by faith. But guess what? Our faith won't work if love's not there. Faith won't work at all. It'll be inoperative. It'll be dysfunctional. It'll be dismantled in our faith if our love is not there. Galatians 5:6 says, "For Christ, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love." The New Living Translation says, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important," watch this, "is faith expressing itself in love." Faith expressing itself in love. Amplified says it this way, that last phrase, and faith, only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Four things. Faith activated, faith energized and expressed and working through love. You've heard us say this before. There's the law of faith and there's the law of love. The spiritual law of faith first tells us that faith is the greatest activator. What does faith activate? Our covenant. Our covenant rights and privileges and promises that we have from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But love is the greatest motivator. Love is the greatest motivator. See, without the motivation of love, without the activation and the energizing of love, our faith can go crazy. And it can become critical or become cynical. So we said this, we cannot grow in God without growing in the love of God. So right up front, we have to realize when we say faith works by love, the scriptures tell us, it's telling us we can't grow in God without growing in the love of God. Because we can't grow in faith without growing in love. Now, some principles of the law of faith Jesus outlined in Mark 11, verse 22 through 26. Now, look at the whole context here. It says to us, "So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." There's a lot in those few verses that we will unpack here in just a second. I'm going to take my jacket off just a second. Principle number one, if you're taking notes, is number one, we all have been given the same measure of the God kind of faith. The same measure of the God kind of faith. So we become born again, child of God. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, King James Version, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man," everybody say every man, "that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." In other words, I can't think I got more faith than you do. You might be utilizing more of your faith than the other person, but you shouldn't compare and criticize and try to compete with someone else saying, "I got more faith than you do." No, he said, don't think more highly than you ought to think. But to think soberly, according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say the measure of faith. Everybody say, I have the same measure of the God kind of faith. So that, what does that mean? You know, before our second grandson was being born, we were in a waiting hospital room. Megan was sweating it out there in the labor pains. God bless you. And so her and her family and Tristan, we were playing cards, a little spade, teach them how to play spades. So one time I had to deal, and so I thought I had missed deal. So we count cards, make sure everybody got the same kind. But that's the same thing in the kingdom. God didn't give you more than I got. So you got the same amount of cards, just like your card game. God dealt everybody the same measure of the God kind of faith. Everybody say it with me. I have a measure of the God kind of faith. So principle number two, we're reminded in verse 23 and 24 of Mark 11 we just read. And we learn from these verses that real genuine faith works in two ways. Number one, by saying it, and by praying it. So my faith can work by saying it or by praying it. Now here's the catch you need to understand. If I pray it, I still have to say it. Because saying it is higher than praying it. Because that's where people lose it the most, not saying it after they prayed it. They prayed in Jesus' name, amen. And they go out and say, well, I hope I got healed. I hope and wish that the need will come in. I don't know. Then you just nullified your praying by not saying. Does everybody follow me? So he says, whosoever shall say. That means the law of first mention means Jesus saying it's higher when you say it than pray it. It'll work both ways. Amen. So saying it sometimes is appropriate for the finances. Eat at the beginning of each week, if you're living by faith, and if you want supernatural faith for finances, then you should be saying and claiming what you want to come in by the hand or help of God. Don't just look to the government. Don't just look to your pension. You look to God because he's your source. He said, Jesus said, Mark 11, 22, have faith in who? In God. And if we run around and took inventory, there's different areas where you should be saying some things. Your faith should be saying some things. What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your career? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your health, your body? Now, personally, right now, just temporarily, it's only a temporary season. You know, I'm going through some physical challenges. But I have to say something every day. I can't get out and just go, oh, 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 that hurts. Because I'm not saying anything in faith. I got to speak to my organs. I got to speak to my body. I got to speak to my system. And I have a routine of every time I eat, thank you, Father God, for this food I'm about to receive. I think it's blessed, and it will bring nourishment to my body. I thank you that you're sanctifying it for the nourishment of my body and energizing my body. I thank you, Lord, and I say, the scripture in Ezekiel, you take sickness away from the midst of me. You bless everything I eat and drink. I thank you, Father God, that according to 1 Peter 2:24, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and made whole. Amen. I thank you, Father God, that the healing power of God is working mightily in my spirit, affecting the healing. And usually I include a couple other people I'm praying for their healing. Like right now, I got three people. I thank you that the healing power of God working in me, in them, and them. In Jesus' name. I thank you that this organ, or this gland, in my case, one of the glands, this gland is operating in the perfection that God, you created it to function. And I forbid any malfunction. I thank you, Father God, that the healing power is working in that gland. Faith works by praying it, but it also works by saying it. Now, what is the principle of saying? Law of words. You don't say, you say, what you say is what you get. And what you got is what you said. So if you're not happy with what you have, your health condition, your financial condition, your marriage condition, your family situation, your career situation, if you're not happy with what you said, you got to check out what you've been saying. Because your faith will never rise above the level of your confession. I'm preaching real good right now. All right, principle number three. We also learn that the fundamentals of faith teaches us that the most basic law of faith is to believe in your heart and to say with your mouth. Believe in the heart. So what happens? Faith believes with the heart. That's the first channel you turn to. You know how when you cut the TV on, sometimes it might default to channel number two. Does anybody have channel number one on their TV? I've never seen a channel number one. But, you know, I always see, you know, when you cut it on, it's two. Then it goes three, and then you got maybe 300 or 400, depending on how many channels you got. So you cut it on. What's the first channel? Believe in the heart. Hallelujah. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We're going somewhere now. Stay with me. Matthew 21:21. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what is done to this fig tree, but also say to this mountain," there it is, "be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And whatsoever things ask in prayer, believing, you will" what? Receive. Believe in the heart. Look at Romans 10:10. Here's another confirmation of that. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So the heart believes, the mouth receives. But what if the believer and the receiver are not hooked up? It won't work. That's a fundamental. Just like when they played football yesterday and will play today, they're getting ready to close out the season and get ready for playoffs. They got to master the fundamentals. You know, blocking, tackling, catching, throwing, you know, all that kind of stuff, running the ball. And as fundamentals of faith means I got to believe with the heart. What are you believing for? Nothing. Well, you're not going to get nothing. Because you're not on the first channel. The second channel, or the second principle, is speaking or confessing with the mouth. Believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. In other words, I introduce the problem, the pain, the pressure to God. I open the door, say, I can't overcome this naturally. I need supernatural help. That's where your faith comes in. It opens the door for God to go to work. Believing is an attitude of faith, an attitude of confidence of in God and in His Word. Speaking is the essential or and initial act of faith. Everybody say believing. And speaking. That's my fundamentals. Hallelujah. That's your fundamentals. So if I were going to go and interview or ask these sisters over here about their faith, the first thing I want to know is what you believe in and what you've been speaking. Now, I'm not saying they do, but if one of them comes and says, "Well, Pastor, you know, I know they've not been speaking." Or they're not speaking the right things. Because you're not supposed to be speaking what you feel and what you see naturally. You should be speaking what you believe. No, if I'm a faith friend, I'm going to say, "Tell me what you believe in." then I'm going to tell you how we can kind of ascertain how you're receiving. Because if you're not speaking what you're believing, then you're speaking what you're feeling and seeing it. That's not faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody see this? So the fundamentals of faith teaches us that faith believes, says, and does or acts on the word of God or a word from God. Let's go to principle number four. I'm going to skip over the next one. Next verse, guys. Principle number four. Your faith level determines your victory level. Your faith level determines your victory level. 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Everybody say, my faith level determines my victory level. This happened back when I was a manager at, a long time ago in Oklahoma, at a church's chicken. The Lord challenged me. He said, it was like a little game, but it was a good game. He said, you put up or shut up. I'm complaining to the Lord, driving to work. Lord, you know I got 4 kids. Lord, you know I'm only making $600 a week. I need more money. He said, it's not up to me, it's up to you. He said, you put up or shut up. What are you believing for? He said, a man, and he quoted what he had told and what Brother Hayden told, a man gets and receives only what he believes for in life, nothing more, nothing less. So I quickly looked at my heart and said, okay, I'll trust you for $700 a week. It took me less than 10 days to get $700 a week. I had gotten promoted from $500 to $600, but I'm still complaining. You know how we complain about the little raise we get. Just a little raise. He can't give me a little bit more. You know I got 4 kids to feed. I can't even make it on that. This is way back in the day. So got the $700 a week. I was, woo, woo, glory to God. Less than 10 days. Got 700. Went from 600 to 700. I said, Lord, I still need more. He said, put up and shut up. Took me a little bit less than 45 days to get 800, then went to 840, then went to 1,000. I thought I was in tall cotton getting $1,000 a week. Then over the course of time, went from 1,000 to 2,000 and over 2,000 a week. When I left, I was right at about 150 a year, 150,000. But the Lord said, there's more. There was a period of time in between there when I went 2 years, didn't even ask, didn't even believe for a raise. And God said to me, he said, you had been 2 years since you've trusted me for a raise. And I said, that's right, Lord. He said, what are you going to do? You going to put up or shut up? So I put up. And I didn't shut up. And then within 10 days, within less than 2 weeks, within 11 days, my boss called me and said, we're promoting you, and you're getting this kind of amount of raise. I said, thank you, Lord. Now, you know, this contemporary, you know, because I can tell you about the old stories, but the new stories are, you know, this year, you know, I was the number one rookie agent for 2022. I looked around, I made more than some other folks that's been there for a little longer. But what your faith level determines what? Your victory level. If you're going to break the barrier of $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, $150,000 a year, $200,000, your faith has to go beyond that. That means your faith has to go to a new level for you to get to another level. Your faith has to go, your speaking has to go to a new level. You have to speak on another level to get to another level. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So without me asking, they pulled me into the office over the holidays and said, we want to promote you. I wasn't necessarily super excited because I'm on a groove. I'm in a role. I don't want responsibility. I'm doing my own thing. Man, I'm cooking. Cooking with gas. And now you're going to tie me down to manage people? So I had to stir myself, humble myself, and said, Lord, okay, will the Lord be done? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say my faith level will determine my victory level. But see, faith works by love. So your love, your faith won't work even if you're believing for increase, even if you're believing for healing and stuff like that, if you're not forgiving people. If you're holding grudges or anything against somebody, your faith gets stuck or stunted or stagnant. Hallelujah. And it says principle number five, Jesus is the source of our faith, and he will help us develop if we put his word first place. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Who are you supposed to keep your eyes on? On Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him, and endured the cross and disregarding the shame. He is now saved in the place of honor besides God's throne. Now, anybody in this room and anybody online, you have to understand that Jesus takes responsibility to develop and your faith and bring it to full maturity. So you can go to him. You keep your eyes on him, but you can go to him. Now, at the end of November last year, you know, just in a, as a church and ministry, you know, we're looking at year-over-year stuff, and I looked at it, and I go before the Lord in prayer because he's responsible. He's the head of the church. He's the boss. You go to the boss, right? Excuse me. So I went to him and said, Lord, looking at my numbers here, because I'm a numbers guy, I said, we're almost $8,000 behind year over year. You're not a God of decrease. You're a God of increase. Now, if I do that, you should do that, too, in your own life. Lord, what happened here? You go to the Lord. Lord, what's happening here? Somebody say hallelujah. And then he gave me a word, and I stood on that word, and I watched him work. We not only made it up, but we went ahead by almost $1,500 by the end of the year. Everybody say glory to God. I just got out of the way and put my faith in him. Hallelujah. I did the same thing at work. I said, Lord, you said you'll never see the righteous forsaken and eat seed breaking bread. And Father God, you blessed the work of my hands. So tell me what's going on here. Why is my faith not working here? You get those low points, you know, because when you're in sales, guess what? You're surviving with sales. No sales, no money, no income. Brother Steve knows exactly what I'm talking about, right? So I said, Lord, what's going on here? And see, he touched on an area where I didn't even notice. He said, your love walk. You stepped out in this area and in this area. First, I had to ask for the Lord to forgive me. And then I had to make a change. Because God will judge you and I quicker on spiritual sins than any other. Social sins are big, too. Social sin, that means your relationship with other people. So in one case, it was an area of spiritual transgression, and then there's an area of social. Because how can it work? You get mad at a family member or somebody, associate or friend, and you say, well, I'm not going to deal with them. And then I take away your responsibility to pray for them and pray over them. Now you just stepped out of love. God looks at love as obedience. And then that's that little small move will dry up your money. Drain out your money. And you're like, what's going on? Everything's funny here. Everything's running tight here. Every step out of love is a step out of God. Every step out of love. So we got to be careful when we talk about people. Hallelujah. When we talk about the boss, you know, one time I had to stop myself in the insurance company because some people were talking, but they were talking about the company or talking about the boss. And if you get caught up in that, then I'm going to get caught out of love. I guess I must be preaching to the wrong crowd. You know, looking at me like I stole something. You got to refuse to speak ill will of anybody. To hold the least bit of animosity or grudge against anyone. Now, here's the last two principles. You see what Jesus said here, right? Let's look at it. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Two powerful principles. Principle number 6 and 7 is something I encourage you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, those of you online, in person, here, don't forget these two verses. The other verses are important, but these are just as important. Look at verse 25. Mark 11, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. And that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive. So principle number six is this. You can't hold on to grudges, offenses, or unforgiveness. Now, how do I know I'm holding on to them? If I'm speaking about it. If I'm bringing up a record of what they did and it's in the past, then I have not totally forgiven them. You want to think about Joseph for a moment. Joseph, when his brothers were brought back in front of him, did he ever bring back how they beat him up, threw him in a pit, took his coat, sold him as a slave, put blood on it, lied to their father? Did he tell them how they betrayed him? He never brought it up. He never brought it up. Then why did we bring it up? He said, if you're bringing up what somebody's done or doing, you haven't totally forgiven. And faith won't work if you don't forgive. If you got unforgiveness, if you got that bitterness, that resentment, that ill will, that offense, and if you're remembering it and you're repeating it, you haven't forgiven it. Because forgiveness is also forgetting. You hold on to that thing, and it will stunt and stop your faith. Is everybody here this morning? Everybody say hallelujah. Give me two more hallelujahs. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give us a hallelujah online. And the seventh principle is this. If I don't forgive, then I don't get forgiveness. That's huge. Listen to this, friends. Your faith cannot outdo your forgiveness. Your faith cannot outdo your forgiveness. In other words, your faith life and your faith walk will never rise higher, any higher than your love walk and your forgiveness walk. That's why in the Lord's model prayer, he said, forgive us this day. That means you don't go a day without forgiving people that have crossed you up, that have clapped back at you, that have criticized you, that have come against you, that have clamored against you. You got to forgive them. Let it drop. Let it go. But y'all making it hard on me this morning. Every step out of love is a step out of God. Our love and forgiveness walk greatly affects and negatively impacts our life of faith. Unforgiveness is the number one thing that hinders God's children. That's us, from receiving from him. Our faith will not work if we don't forgive. If that is because an offended heart stifles and faith and blocks answers to prayer. And we see clearly explained by the Lord in the verses we just read. There was a lady one time who had a really bad physical condition. And she's in the waiting in a class to get into the healing line that night in one of Brother Higgins' meetings, Kenneth Higgins' meetings. And she was hearing a message like this on love. And she realized that I had an ought, and there was an offense between her and her brother ever since their parent died, their mother died. And they hadn't spoken to each other in years. You know how people fall out at funerals? And they fall out over who gets what, who splits up what. And it was crazy. Well, she had, over the course of time, gotten sick in really bad shape. And she's going to get healed, but she realized her heart's pricking her. Said, I got to reconcile with my brother. And the Holy Spirit led her to go to the phone and dial him up. She kind of knew where he was generally, but she hadn't spoken to him in years, and so she dialed him up. Finally got a hold of him over the break between services, and she called him. She said, hey, so-and-so. I've been meaning to call you for a long time. He said, yeah, hey, sister. And they start talking. He says, I just want you to forgive me. She didn't go at him and say, you know what you did years ago? No, you know what you said? She didn't go back and repeat and rehearse the pain. She said, I want you to forgive me. He said, no, sister, you got to forgive me. And so they both released forgiveness toward each other. And said, hey, we got to get together and catch up on time. We missed so much time. Over a tiny little grudge. Or a tiny little offense. Say, yes, let's do that. Let's do that. And we'll get together soon. Well, she got back to the hotel where the meeting was and got to checking herself and said, I don't have to get back in the line, the healing line. Guess what? She was completely healed. Someone said, praise the Lord. Sometimes we can hinder. Like we said, it's the number one thing. Unforgiveness is the number one thing that hinders God's children from receiving. Think about it, my brother. Is God holding us back for the resources and the money we need to be prosperous and in health in 2023? No. He's not the one holding it back. But see, our unforgiveness could be holding it back. Our anger, our animosity, our oughts could be holding us back. See, the love of God constrains us and to extend his love to even to those who are different than us or who are difficult to us. And we must realize that in life, in leadership responsibilities at home, work, business, church, people will hurt you. Now, by a show of hands, how many have been hurt? How many got hurt last year a little bit? Somebody said something, did something. You're like, you know, my boys call it, you know, butt hurt. I know it's a little crazy statement, but. You know, sometimes you get hurt, right? Just get hurt. But when you hurt, actually two things occur. Number one, the act, what they did, what they said. What does forgiveness deal with? The action. Now, guys, you got to take real good notes on this. I'm getting ready to close up here. Matthew 5:44, we just read this week if you're with us in our Bible reading in the YouVersion Bible plan for the New Testament. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Now stop right there. I think the scripture's up on the screen. You ask yourself, am I loving my enemies? Because if you just loved your friends and your family, you're not really walking in the love of God. You're probably in phileo, brotherly love, or storge, family love. But agape has to come into play. He's not talking about storge or phileo, your enemies. He said agape, your enemies. An enemy is a foe, an opponent, one who's arrayed against you. He didn't say hate your enemies. He said love them. He said bless those who curse you. Now, what does it mean when it says curse somebody? Somebody cursing you. It means that they're not saying anything good to you or about you. They're not saying anything good to you or about you. They're cursing you. We're not saying it like they say in Texas colloquial expression, cussing you, using profanity. We're not talking about somebody cussing you out. We're talking about somebody cursing you by not speaking evil about you, speaking ill will towards you, speaking negative things about you or to you. That's cursing you. But he said, bless them. That means you say something good. You don't say what they said. You don't say what they did. You say something good. So ask yourself the question, who am I blessing that has cursed me? Because you got to deal with the action, the act. When somebody hurt you, they said this about me, they talked about me, they did this to me. It said, do good to those that hate you. So how many of us can say we're doing good to people that actually downright hate us? That means there's no love there. And then he said, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So this is where I had missed it not too long ago, back in November, when I'm talking to the Lord about, you know, things and saying, well, things slowing up. He remembered this. He said, anytime you're feeling mistreated, the devil's working on you. Anytime you feel disrespected, the devil's working on you. Why are you getting red-eyed and huffy and puffy? And I can't believe they don't respect me. They mistreat me. Anytime you're feeling mistreated, the devil's working on you. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to give me better amen than that. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Anytime you're feeling mistreated, know that the devil's working on you. And he's working on you to get into unforgiveness, get into offense, get into bitterness, get into holding a grudge. I got you. You're going to mistreat me like that. You're going to talk to me that way. And then you're gonna review it, rehearse it, and then you're going to bring out cursings. You're not going to speak good about them. That's not love. Faith works by love. Hallelujah. So the love of God, it constrains us to compel us to extend his love even to those that are different and those that are difficult to us. We got some difficult people sometimes that you have to work with. In my case. But I can't just go and say, I'm going to pray for this one, pray for this one. I ain't praying for that one. They had knucklehead. I had to pray for him. Hallelujah. In fact, we're told to love our enemies, do good to those that hate us, bless those who curse us, just pray for those who despitefully use us. So who are you praying for that are using you and persecuting you? You know they're trying to use you and abuse you, but are you praying for them? Hallelujah. Let's go back. Happy New Year, everybody. Praise God. Look what he said. Whenever you stand praying, Mark 11:25, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. For your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. See, walking in forgiveness is a part of walking in love. So forgiveness walks should be practiced instantly, proactively, reactively, and regularly. Now, I've learned from others, mentors, when you go into a restaurant and you see the parking lot's crowded, you know it's going to be a 45-minute to an hour wait. What do? You forgive everybody because you know the service might be slow and sloppy. because they might be stretched out over several tables and they might be understaffed. But if you go in there with your bad attitude and treating them horrible, then, you know, that's not walking in love. When you're going in and work on Monday morning, you get out of a bad mood and you say, Lord, I forgive everybody today that's coming in, going to come in complaining, criticizing, talking about how bad the weekend was, how bad life is. I forgive them in advance. I don't hold anything against them. I'm coming into a hot zone. Come on now. Are you hearing me? I'm coming into a hot place to work. And I need to forgive everybody. I need to protect and keep myself in the love of God. Think back to your family functions over the holidays. Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas, whatever the family got together. You know, sometimes people say stuff. People do stuff. Are you going to walk in love and forgiveness, or are you going to get... forgive me if it offends you. I'm not trying to offend. If you get butt hurt, if you're not the center of attention or things don't go your way, you got to walk in forgiveness because me and that family, we're going to have some tension. What do you got to do? You got to pray and ask for forgiveness in advance. James E. Johnny Johnson said this. A lot of people think that they can wait until tomorrow to forgive somebody. Listen to me. In 2023, you can't get away with holding on to unforgiveness. That doesn't get better with time. You can't wait until tomorrow to forgive somebody. Get it right before the night. We always tell married couples, if you're holding stuff in and before when the sun goes down, then your marriage is going to go down. You got to get it right before the night. You can't. You don't have time. He says that thing, that anger, that hatred starts growing so fast, if that happens, you might not be able to control it. That's why we practice the sunset rule. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, which is an internal emotional term. It means an internal hidden emotion of anger. That means I'm going to get you back. I'm going to cook vengeance. I have an eye toward revenge or vengeance. That's deadly. That's poisonous. Because if you let the sun go down, you're going to become homicidal or suicidal. Forgiveness process deals with the trespasses of others. When he says forgive anything, if you have anyone, he said forgive them. That means let it drop. Everybody say let it drop. Everybody say leave it. Let it go. Give up the resentment. So here's the practical thing. Now I'm going to use my phone. I'm going to put it on the chair. Everybody see it? So if this is the offense, this is the hot potato, I got it in my hand, what am I supposed to do? Everybody say let it drop. I let it drop. Everybody say I leave it. Let it go. And give up the resentment. Because you can't let resentment stay in you. That's that anger, that bitterness that comes up. You got to let that go. Give up the resentment. Now, that's the practical way of dealing with the action. And sometimes through pain, I've had to say, Father, you know I love them. I know you love them, and I forgive them. And I may have had to say it 2 or 3 times, 4 or 5 times. But you got to deal with the action or the act. Then you got to deal with the attitude. I'm closing with this portion. The attitude is when you have to deal with the attitude. The Bible says whenever you bless, we take away the ability for it to hurt you. Now listen to this verse. Listen to this powerful verse here. 1 Peter 3:9, it says, don't repay evil for evil. Now evil for evil payments come through bad attitudes. Well, I ain't going to talk to them no more. And we have technology today, right? What do we do with our phone? We block them. We jump out of the conversation and says, I'm canceling my participation in that conversation. I know there's situations you might have to. But we do it with a bad attitude. Why are we canceling people? Why are we cutting people off? Why are we saying we're going to block them? I see if they're a threat or a danger or physical harm to you, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that haven't dealt with an attitude issue because they got hurt by somebody. Are y'all there or you've gone home already? Brother Steve's going to get lunch for those that have come. So there's more than enough food. So we got food. So hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Look what he says. Don't repay evil for evil. So I should never be caught in 23 paying somebody back for what they did wrong or hurtful to me. I should never be caught paying somebody back. I was talking to my oldest son about getting a gun, and I'm excited about getting one, a pistol. But I had to make sure my attitude's right, right? I'm not going to pay nobody back for Now, look at me in the judgmental tone. It's okay to carry a gun, right? Right, Brother Luke? It's right to carry. Yeah. Texas is a concealed and open carry state. So I'm actually thinking about two eventually and then get my wife one. Why? Just practical, practical protection. I'm not going to use it to threaten nobody. Because that'd be a bad attitude, right? It'd be wrong motive. So you have to make sure your attitude is not to hurt, to respond out of hurt. What am I saying? Don't respond out of hurt. You could be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and still responding out of hurt. That is a bad attitude. You haven't dealt with your attitude. He said, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Anybody ever been insulted? But are you supposed to insult them back? He said, instead, pay them back with a what? A blessing. Now, how many of you ever paid back somebody with a blessing? Come on, y'all. This is January the 8th, 2023. We're walking in love, right? How do you pay somebody back with a blessing? You know they've been talking about you and insulting you. What do? Hey, here's $50 HEB gift card for groceries. Just to bless you. No strings attached. Love you. Bye-bye. Hey, here's dinner. Hey, here's groceries. Hey, can I help you pay your car note this month? How much is it? Y'all giggling. We need to start practicing that stuff. Somebody say hallelujah. He said pay them back with a blessing. That means that's going to be something good for them. Something good to them. He said, "What? This is what God called you to do." Everybody say, I'm called to pay people back with a blessing. But you know, it's, you know, when we get grown, we like, I ain't got to talk to him. I ain't got to deal with him. We rear up, bow up, flare up, got our fist up. God didn't call us to do that. He said he will grant you his blessing when you do this. How many want the blessing of God? Now, the best place to practice is with your close friends and family, because sometimes they can be sandpaper or you can get into a little friction and disagreements, and that's okay, but you got to do it in love. You got to maintain a good attitude. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just stand to your feet right now. Thank you, Jesus.